In March 2020, something extraordinary happened. The entire planet stopped moving at once. Factories went silent, airports emptied, city streets became ghost towns. For the first time in modern history, humanity experienced a synchronized crisis. Not a war confined to certain regions, not a financial collapse affecting primarily the wealthy, but a pandemic that reached into every home, every community, every nation simultaneously. This wasn't just another emergency to weather and forget. COVID-19 compressed a decade of transformation into a few chaotic months, forcing questions we'd been avoiding. What kind of world do we actually want? What really matters? And can we afford to return to normal when normal was already broken? Think about how you worked in February 2020 versus April 2020. Your entire professional life transformed overnight. The pandemic catapulted slowly emerging trends forward at warp speed. E-commerce adoption that should have taken 10 years happened in 3 months. Remote work jumped from 6% to 43% of the American workforce in weeks. Your grandmother started video conferencing, restaurants became virtual kitchens, and doctors consulted patients through screens. This acceleration exposed the fragility of systems we'd assumed were solid. When Italy locked down, German factories couldn't get parts. Efficiency, the business world's holy grail, had made us dangerously vulnerable. Our just-in-time supply chains had no backup plans. Our healthcare systems had no surge capacity. We'd optimized everything for normal times and left ourselves defenseless against the abnormal. This hyper-connected world operates on three fundamental forces: interdependence, velocity, and complexity. Problems no longer stay contained. An outbreak in one province becomes a global pandemic in weeks. We live in a dictatorship of urgency, where everything happens faster than our institutions or our minds can process. The virus doubled every few days, overwhelming both hospitals and our cognitive ability to grasp exponential growth. The economic collapse was breathtaking. What took years during the Great Depression happened in 3 weeks. GDP contracted by double digits, unemployment exploded past 10%, and over 20 million Americans lost their jobs in a single month. But this crisis shattered a dangerous myth, the supposed trade-off between saving lives and saving the economy. Countries that controlled the virus, South Korea, New Zealand, Taiwan, generally performed better economically than those prioritizing business continuity. Consumer confidence requires pandemic control. No amount of government pressure to reopen can force frightened consumers into restaurants or airplanes. We're now living in the 80% economy, operating at reduced capacity indefinitely. Businesses face fewer customers, reduced spending, and higher distancing costs. Some industries must fundamentally reinvent themselves rather than simply bounce back. The disruption offers something rare: a chance to question whether endlessly chasing GDP growth still makes sense. New Zealand pioneered a well-being budget, targeting mental health and child poverty over economic expansion. Post-pandemic recovery should prioritize resilience, sustainability, and inclusive prosperity. After all, what good is GDP growth if it concentrates wealth at the top while millions struggle to afford healthcare, housing, and education? COVID-19 didn't level the playing field. It tilted it further. Professionals worked safely from home, while essential workers, nurses, cleaners, delivery drivers, grocery clerks, risked their lives for poverty wages and precarious employment. This glaring contradiction exposed the cracks in our social contract. For decades, that contract had been eroding. Housing costs soared, healthcare became unaffordable, education debt crushed young people, and wages stagnated while executive compensation skyrocketed. The gig economy promised flexibility, but delivered insecurity. No benefits, no protections, no stability. The pandemic crystallized these failures. Countries with robust safety nets responded more effectively than market-oriented economies. governments demonstrated their essential role through unprecedented interventions, stimulus programs, direct cash transfers, wage coverage, loan suspensions. This marks a decisive shift. Governments will permanently expand their role, strengthening health and unemployment insurance while broadening social safety nets. Shareholder capitalism, where businesses exist solely to maximize investor returns, is giving way to stakeholder capitalism, where companies consider their impact on workers, communities, and the environment. Companies that prioritize shareholders over workers during the pandemic faced intense backlash, while those demonstrating genuine stakeholder commitment earned loyalty and trust. The pandemic accelerated U.S.-China tensions that were already escalating. Unlike the Soviet Cold War, this isn't ideological. China isn't exporting communism. Instead, it reflects a fundamental power shift from west to east, creating the Thucydides trap, the dangerous dynamic when a rising power threatens to displace an established one. Pre-COVID tensions over trade, intellectual property, the South China Sea, and technology intensified rather than united against a common threat. Wang Jisi, dean at Peking University's School of International Studies, believes U.S.-China relations have reached their worst point since 1979, with bilateral economic and technological decoupling already irreversible. The clearest impact? Regionalized supply chains. Businesses seeking risk mitigation and governments viewing dependencies as security threats will drive this shift. North America, Europe, and Asia will increasingly pursue regional self-sufficiency. Products may cost more, but prove more reliable. The era of maximizing profits through complex global networks is ending, replaced by just-in-case rather than just-in-time inventory management. The pandemic previews a full climate crisis. Combined demand and supply shocks, disrupted supply chains, and cascading impacts. Both are systemic risks requiring global coordination that disproportionately harm vulnerable populations. Zoonotic diseases like COVID-19 have quadrupled over 50 years as human activities disrupt ecosystems. Destroying biodiversity through agriculture or transporting wildlife into populated areas relocates disease reservoirs into human communities. Air pollution, linked to 7 million annual deaths, significantly worsens coronavirus outcomes by impairing lung defenses. Despite unprecedented lockdowns, 2020 carbon emissions fell only 8%, below the 7.6% annual reduction needed to limit warming to 1.5°C. Individual consumption changes have limited impact compared to emissions from electricity, agriculture, and industry. Governments might sideline environmental concerns for economic recovery or seize this opportunity to redesign a sustainable economy. Preserving natural environments is our primary defense against future pandemics and our best hope for sustainability. The pandemic proved rapid, coordinated action responding to scientific evidence is possible. Can we apply this urgency to climate change before the window closes? We stand at a crossroads. The pandemic has exposed converging crises, widening wealth gaps, geopolitical tensions, political polarization, unprecedented debt, inadequate global governance, excessive financialization, and environmental degradation. History shows that ignoring fundamental problems typically leads to violent revolution or systemic collapse. Many benefiting from the current system yearn for pre-pandemic normal, but that normal was unsustainable. Billions lacked basic healthcare, education, and economic opportunity, while the richest 1% accumulated unprecedented wealth. Aggregate statistics showing human progress obscure profound disparities threatening social cohesion. The choice is stark. Proactively reshape our world to be more inclusive and equitable, or drift toward greater inequality, ecological devastation, and social upheaval. Crisis often catalyzes new paradigms. The New Deal emerged from the Great Depression, the modern welfare state from World War II. This pandemic might transform our collective mindset in ways unthinkable in 2019. Historical opportunities for systemic change typically last only 12 to 24 months after major crises. The window is closing. What we do next will echo through generations.